Hey, good morning, everybody. This is Elisha Graf attempting to fill in for Rabbi Leibowitz. Today's daf is Shkolem Daf Zion. We're going to continue the discussion that we started yesterday about what we do with the leftovers. The Mishnah on the top of Daf Vav Amud Beis had told us what we do with the leftovers of Shkolem, with the leftovers of the Seir Seifa, etc., etc. So we got yesterday all the way down to the bottom of Vav Amud Beis. And the Gemara is going to open with a discussion of what we do with the leftovers of the money that a Nazir designates for his Karbanos at the conclusion of his Naziras. That's going to segue into a bit more discussion about what we do with leftovers. And then the next Mishnah is going to talk about what we do with the leftovers of funds that are collected for Pidyon Shvuyin or for Aniyim or for Mesim. And then the Gemara is going to launch on a lengthy tangent about telling us a very interesting story about certain Gedolim who were upset when others purposely hid from them and didn't say hello to them, and that somehow is going to lead to a discussion of the importance of saying something b'shem omro and attributing a mimer that you are saying over to the person who actually said it. So let's get going. The Gemara, we got up to the last line on Vav Amud Beis. And the Gemara says there, quoting from the Mishnah, Mosar Nazir Linadava, the leftovers of the funds that the Nazir set aside for his Karbanos go to a Nadava. So Rav Chista says, Vahu Shekarva Chataso Besof. That's only if the Nazir's Chatas is brought at the end. Aval i karvo shlamim besof mosaro shlamim. However, if the Nazir has already brought his chatas and the last korban that the Nazir is going to bring is the shlamim, then the leftover money doesn't go linandava, it goes for shlamim. So just bederech hakdama, at the conclusion of his naziras, the Nazir has to bring three karbanas. He's got to bring a chatas, he's got to bring a shlamim, and he's got to bring an ola. And the order of those karbanos can be variable, and what the Gemara is saying now, whether or not the Moser Nazir goes l'nedava, and what does nedava mean? Nedava means la'olas nedava, depends on which karban the Nazir left over to be brought as his final karban. So we see over here that Rav Chista is telling us that if the last karban that the Nazir left over is a chatas, then the Moser Naziris is l'nedava, just like Moser Chatas goes to nedava. But if the last karban that the Nazir has to bring is a shlamim, then the Mosar of that Nazir has a din of Mosar shlamim, and Mosar shlamim goes to a karban shlamim. And similarly, the Mefarshim explained, the Tiklin Chadatin explains that according to the Shita of Rav Chista, if the Ola was brought, last, then the Moser would go to a private Ola and not to an Ola Snedava. So basically, Rav Chista's rule is the only time the rule in the Mishnah of Moser Nazir Linadava holds true is when the last karban that the Nazir has to bring, i.e., that which comprises the Nosar, would have gone to a chatas. If that which comprises a nosar would have gone to a chatas, then we bring nedava. Otherwise, we bring it for something else. Otherwise, the money is put towards something else. So Rav Zira disputes this. So Amar Rav Zira, afilu karvo shlamim lebesof, halacha achas hi benazir, shetei moseres nedava. Rav Zira disputes this, and Rav Zira says as follows. Even if the shlamim is brought at the end, for that matter, even if the yola is brought at the end. In other words, even if the last carbon that's being brought is not the chatas, so we wouldn't be employing the regular halacha of Moser Chatas Linadava. Still, we have a special halacha l'Moshe B'Sinai, presumably by Nazir, that the Moser, whatever it may be, goes Linadava. So Rav Chista, so the Tiklin Chadatin works to explain what Rav Chista does with this halacha l'Moshe B'Sinai. If Rav Zira is really correct, that by Naziris there's a halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai, that no matter what's left over, it has to go to Nadava. How can Rav Chista argue and say no, that the only time it goes to Nadava is if the Chatas is the last carbon to be brought, but if the Ola or the Shlamim is the last carbon to be brought, then it doesn't go to Nadava? So the Tiklin Chadatin explains that Rav Chista would hold that the halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai only applies when there's chatas money mixed into the surplus. There's got to be at least a little bit of chatas money mixed in. That's our hook to put it all into nedava, because the regular halacha by chatas, by mosar chatas, is that it goes to nedava. But if you brought your chatas already, meaning that there is no chatas money at all mixed into the leftovers, then Rav Chista would say that the halacha l'Moshe b'Sinai has no application in that case. But in either event, we see a fundamental machlokas by Moser Nazir, whether the rule that is brought to Nedava applies only when the last carbon to be brought is a chatas, or whether it applies no matter what the last carbon to be brought is, whether it's a chatas, the ola, or the shlamim. So, says the Gemara as follows, Masnisna Messiah Ledin, or Masnisna Messiah Ledin. So we have one Mishnah that supports one Mandiyamar, and the other Mishnah, and another Mishnah that supports the other Mandiyamar. Masnisna Messiah Lerav Zeira, we have a Mishnah that supports Rav Zeira, Elohein Mos Stumin. What are Moos Stumin? Kolsha Dmei Chatos Mesos Muravos Behen. Anything that had Dmei Chatos Mesos, Chasos Shemesu Balea mixed up in them, Vafilu Hifrish Dmei Chatos Mitocha Moos Stumin Hein. And even if you've separated out the Dmei Chatos from that money, they're still considered to be Moos Stumin. So over here, we have Rav Zeira saying that if you have some sort of mixture of money, they're most stam, even if you've already separated out the mechatas, the mechatas rather from that mixture, they still continue to have a status of mo stumin, and therefore the leftovers are brought as an adava. And so too by Naziris. If you have a mixture of money, and even if you have removed the mechatas from the mixture of money because you've already brought the chatas. So in other words, the last carbon that remains to be brought is not a chatas because you've already brought it, but it's either an ola or a shlamim. Still, it has the same halacha as mixed up money and mosarin lindava. So that's the shita of Rav Zeira. And Masnisa Messiah la Rav Chista, we have a Mishnah that supports Rav Chista. And what's that? So the Mishnah is as follows. Elul chatasi. If a person says, Elul chatasi, these monies are going to buy my carbon chatas, Vashar leshar nizirusai, and then the rest of the money is going to go to the rest of the carbonas, to the olam, the shlomim that I have to bring at the conclusion of my naziros, umes, and then he dies, Moalin bekulan, ve'ein moalin bemiksasan. The only way you're going to be chayev in mi'ila is if you are maul in all the money, but not if you're maul in part of the money. So what is this talking about? So it's talking about as follows. So we have three karbanas here. We have the karban chatas, we have the karban shlamim, and we have the karban ola. Of these three karbanos, the karban ola is kachem kachem, and the rest are kachem kalim. And you can only violate me'ila if you're maul in kachem, in kache kachem. So over here you have money. You said this money is going to the korban chatas, and this money is going to the rest. So comes Rav Chista and says that the only way you're moel, and again, you're only moel if you use the money that you set aside for use as a korban ola, is if you're moel in all the money. But if you're moel in only part of the money, we don't assume that the money that you were moel, that the money that you used was the demei korban ola. So according to Rav Chista, we see from this brisa, merely designating the money and setting it aside means that we view this money as chatas money and this money as ola money, and therefore you're mol only in the ola money, not you're not mol in the chatas money. Velo amar im meis yiplu l'nedava. And the Mishnah concludes, we don't say that if he then dies, then everything falls to nedava. Why don't we say that if everything dies, it falls to nedava? Because Rav Chista says that the designation of money is effective. Therefore, the only time the Moser goes to Nedava is if the Moser properly belongs to the Karban Chatos. But if the Moser properly belongs to the Karban Ola or the Karban Shlamim, then it wouldn't go to Nedava. And that's the reason that if you're Mol, if you use the money, the only time you're Chayiv and Mila is if you use all the money. Because if you use only some of the money, who said that the money that you used was the Karban Ola money? Maybe it was the Karban Chatos money. Okay. So Rav Chisda is now going to teach us a couple of more dinim about what happens with the moser, what happens with the leftovers of certain karbanas. So Rav Chisda says, moser lachmo shel nazir yurkav. The remainder of that which is left over from the lechem of a nazir, the nazir has to bring lechem together with his karbanas at the conclusion of the nazirah. So if there's leftover bread, that bread has to be left to rot. It's gonna sit and be destroyed. We have no other use for it. So Samar Rav Yossi v'yos, and Rav Yossi says, yes, it's a correct. This is a correct ruling. That is in fact the halacha. Because what could you do with this otherwise? Lahakariv b'pnei atzmo. If you're just gonna bring the bread itself. Ein at yachol, you're not allowed to do that. Shein lecha lechem karav liatzmo, because we never find a situation where the bread is brought alone. We only find bread used as an accompaniment to the karbanas. Here, the nazir already brought his karbanas. The only thing that we had a moser from was the moser of the lechem. The lechem alone is worthless to us. Im naziras lakrivo, im naziras acheres. And what's the other option? To bring it with the karbanas of other nazirs. Ain at yachol, you're not allowed to do that. Shein lecha nazirus ba below lechem, because nobody would have been makabel in nazirus, and nobody would have been mafresh karbonos for his nazirus without also being mafresh lechem. So there is no situation where the bread will be brought with other karbonos nazir. They can't be brought themselves because you never bring bread itself. You can't bring bread with the other karbonos of a nazir, because the nazir, when he became a nazir and set aside money for his karbonos, would have also set aside money for his bread. So Lefam Kain, because of this, Tzarech Meimar Moser Lach Moshel Nazir Yurkav, because of this, we have to say, we have no choice but to say that the leftovers of the lechem of the Nazir have to be left to rot. So Sovereign Meimar, Hu Lachmo Hu Moser Nasachav. They also thought to say that the same halacha that applies to the lechem also applies to the moser of the nesachim that were brought or that would have been brought along with their karbanos of the nazir. Every karban has to come with various nischei yayin. So what we're dealing with here is if you have leftover nesachim, what happens with those? So Amar Rabbi Yossi Baravi Bun, moser nesachav kachei kachim einon, v'yiplu linadava. The moser of the nesachim are kachei kachim, and they fall to nedava. So the moser nesachim has the same status effectively as moser chatas. So the chiddush here of Rav Chisda is that the nesachim would have a din of kachei kachim, even though we have no idea which karban the nesachim were going to accompany. It could be that the nesachim are going to accompany a karban of kachei kachim, in which case, okay, so you know they fall to nedava. Or it could have been that the Nesachim were going to accompany a karban of kachim kalim. And the chiddush of Rav Chisda is that no matter whether the Nesachim are going to accompany a karban of kachim kachim or kachim kalim, either way, the moser goes to Nedava, because the Nesachim themselves have a din of kachim kachim. That's the way the Tiklin Chadatin explains the chiddush here of Rav Chisda. So we have a girsa issue, so we'll follow the girsa of the Gra now. Al daite de Rav Yossi Barabun v'Shmuel. So Rav Yossi Barabun and Shmuel had the following thought, that Rav Chisda, Rav Eliezer, Al daite de Rav Yossi Barabun u'Shmuel, Rav Chisda, Rav Eliezer, shlosha namar davar echad. That all these three views were effectively the same view. And what view are these? So Rav Chisda aha diamran. Rav Chisda is the din that we just said, that Moser Nesachin goes to Nedava. In other words, he views Moser Nesachin as having a din of Kachim Kachim, even if it was supposed to accompany a carbon of Kachim Kalim, and therefore the Moser Nesachim always goes to Nedava, no matter what carbon it was going to accompany. Shmuel, and what's the sheet of Shmuel? Damar Rav Yossi, Adiana Taman, while I was there in Bavel, Shamit kol Rabbi Yehuda shor l'Shmuel. I heard Rabbi Yehuda asking Shmuel, Hifra shikla umeis, what is the halacha if you're mafresh, you're shekel, and you die? Amarle yiplu l'nedava. So Shmuel said that the money goes to Nedava. The Tiklin Chadatin explains the reason that this money goes to Nedava, what kachay kachim is there. So what the person intended to do with the shekel is to buy karbonos of kachay kachim. And that's why the shekel itself, the moser shekel itself, has a din of kache kachem, and it falls in the nedava. So that's the shita of Shmuel. So we see that he holds like Rav Chista. And now Rav Elazar Omer, Rav Elazar says, Moser Asira Seifa Shalo, the leftovers of the Asira Seifa that's brought by the Kohen Gadol, Rav Yochanan Omer Yelichem Le Yama Melech. Rav Yochanan says that you have to throw them to the Yama Melech. There's nothing that you could do with them. And Rabbi Lezer Omer Yiplu L'Nedava, and Rabbi Lezer says Yiplu L'Nedava, and again here the money goes to the Nedava, the money goes to Nedava because the Asirus Haifa of the Kohen Gadol is Kachay Kachim, and any type of Kachay Kachim, not only the leftover of Achatas or the leftover of Anasham, goes to Nedava. So we see that Rav Chista, Shmuel, and Rabbi Lezer, with regard to leftovers of various things that they say have dinim of kachay kachim, the moser always goes to Nedava, because the common thread between the shitas is that if you ever have a moser of something which is kachay kachim, it goes to Nedava. Okay, so that's the conclusion of that Mishnah. It gets a little bit easier. A little bit easier, I promise. So says the next Mishnah, Halacha Hey. So again, continuing with the halachos of leftovers of stuff that you were collecting for. So Moser Shvuyim Lishvuyim. So the leftovers of money that was collected for Pidyon Shvuyim should go to other Shvuyim. So the Tiklan Chatatin explains that the Mishnah is referring to a case where money was collected for Pidyon Shvuyim generally, and if more money was collected than is needed in order to redeem the captives that we have at hand, then the money should be used to redeem future captives, because after all, that's what the money was collected for. It wasn't collected for a specific captive, but Moser Shavui, Lioser Shavui. If money was collected for a specific captive, then you can't just apply the leftovers to captives generally, because the collection was undertaken for the benefit of this specific shavui. And therefore, it goes to that shavui. The Tiklan Chatatin explains that it goes for his own needs, like food, because once the money was collected for a specific captive, he has a zechi on the money. He made a kinyan on the money because of the principle of zachin adam shalobafanav. So if we're going to say that the money is as if it actually belongs to that shavui, that captive, because of zachin adam shalobafanav, we can't say that the moser goes to captive generally, because who says he wants it to go to captive generally? He wants it to come to him. Similar halacha, moser aniyim laniyim, leftovers of money that were collected for aniyim generally go to aniyim. Moser ani liosa ani, leftovers of money that was collected for a specific ani have to go to that ani. Moser amesim lemesim, leftovers of money that was collected for mesim generally to tend to their burial needs and burial expenses go to mesim generally, go to future mesim. Moser ames liyarshav. However, the leftovers of money collected for a specific mase go to his yarshim. So it's a little unclear as to why the leftovers would go to the yarshim, whether it works midin yerusha or whether it works due to some other din. But whatever it is, the Tiklan Chatatin explains that we assume, why does the money go to his yarshim? Because we assume, first of all, it can't go to him, obviously, because he's dead, right? So in the other cases of the mission, we said if you collected for a certain guy and you collected enough money, well, the guy, because of some right of zechiyah, is entitled to the rest of the money. Here the guy's dead. So the leftovers can't go to him, but what do we do? It goes to the yarshim, because the Tiklan Chatatin says that we know that what the mace wants from the money is the mace wants a bakavadik, a burial up to a certain level, but beyond a basic funeral, he would prefer that the money goes to his yarshim as opposed to making a very, very extravagant and elaborate funeral. So we basically know that this is what the mace wanted, and also you'll have to explain that this is what people assumed when they were giving the money. People assumed when they were taking up the collection that, okay, we're collecting for this mace. It's possible that we might collect more than we need in order to satisfy his basic burial needs. We know that the das of the mace is that once we satisfy his basic burial needs, he'd prefer that the leftovers go to his yarshim. And therefore, we, when we give our tzedakah, we're intending we're going to cover his burial needs, and the rest is going to go to his yarshim. So it's not as if it was a whole collection betos, which we'll get to a little bit later in the Gemara. So Rav Meir disputes and says Moser Ramei say Emuna Chachayava Elio, that the Moser Ramei has to be left over until Elio comes. And the reason for this is Rav Meir says, well, we have no idea what the mace intended. You, the Tanakhama, says that the mace would have wanted the money to go to his Yarshim. I have no idea. Maybe the mace would have wanted a really crazy elaborate funeral or matseva or a mausoleum instead of just a basic Aron, and have the rest of the money go to his Yarshim. We have no idea, and therefore the money lies besuffic. Rav Nosson Omer Moser Ameis Bonelo Nefesh Al Kivro, that with the leftover of the leftovers of the money collected for a mace, we build a nefesh on his kever. So what's a nefesh? So the Tiklan Chadatan explains that a nefesh is a matseva, and Tosfos though elsewhere explains that the nefesh is like a house that is erected to guard the mace. So he views it as a mausoleum. It's like a structure, not only a matseva. But what comes out from the shita of Rav Nosson? So the Tanakhama says the mace definitely wants the money to go to his yarshim. Rav Meir was mesupak. Does the mace want the money to go to his yarshim or not? Rav Nosson says no. If there was extra money, the mace would definitely want something that's going to be bakovadik for him. So that's why we have to make a matseva. You make whatever elaborate matseva, according to Tosfos, even an entire binyan that you want, but don't use the money that's left over to go towards. Don't use the money that's left over to go towards the yarshim. Says the Gemara, Gavulo, if they collected for a mace, Becheska she'enlo, on the chazak, on the assumption that the mace just simply doesn't have the money to satisfy his burial needs, v'nimsa she'yeshlo, and it turns out that he was a wealthy guy. So Rav Yirmiya Savar, Meimar Mosar Ameis Liyarshav. So the Rav Meir says, well, what we said was Mosar Ameis Liyarshav. If he doesn't eat it, then give the money to his kids. So Amar Leih Rav Idi, Dechutra Haga Atzmacha, you should trouble yourself, Delo Kenosein Elalei. So it's like you're giving it to him. In other words, what Rav Idi is saying, and the language in the Yerushalmi is awful difficult to figure out, but what Rav Idi is saying is that the only time we say that the leftovers of the maize go to the Yarshim is when there was a bona fide collection for the maize. In that case, well, you were collecting for a proper cause, and therefore any leftovers are going to go to the Yarshim. But if the entire basis for the collection was mistaken, it was a sham, because the guy never needed the money to begin with, then you can't say, oh, he didn't need the money, let's give it to his Yarshim. The only time he gave it to his Yarshim is when the guy needed the money to begin with. Here he didn't need it at all. So it was a Gviya Batos. So Amar Leih, Hanolo Amrit At Minolan. How do you know this? How do you know this? And it's interesting, because even though we don't respond, in other words, you have a good svara. Your svara is that the only time the moser goes to the yarshim is when there was a bona fide collection to the mace. If there was no bona fide collection to the mace, if the entire collection was betos, then the money doesn't go to the yarshim. But so he's saying to him, well, it's a good svara, but how do you know it? What's your makar? And Tikkun Chadatan explains, even though Rav Idi doesn't respond to the challenge, still the halacha is like Rav Idi, the Rosh Paskin's like Rav Idi, and it makes sense, right? Since the whole collection was undertaken under false pretenses, we don't say, oh, we thought he needed something, but because he doesn't need anything, let's give it to his Yarshim. Why are you giving it to his Yarshim? He has money. The whole collection was undertaken under false pretenses. Okay, so Amar Leih, so Tani B'Shem Tani. Tani b'shem Rav Nosson. Moser ha-meis, yibonelo nefesh al kivro. We build a nefesh on his kever. We build a matzeva on his kever. V'yaselo ziluf al gabe mitaso. And we sprinkle wine on top of his aron, on top of the dead body. Okay, so that's what we do. So that's what Rav Nosson says, and that's Rav Nosson from the Mishnah, basically. Except now we're adding the detail that not only do we use the money to build a matzeva, we also use the money to buy wine to sprinkle on the mita, which is something that they used to do in order to show kavod to the mace. So Tani, ein poden shavui b'shavui, that we cannot be pode a shavui, another shavui, another individual shavui, with money collected for a first individual shavui. That's also the halacha in the Mishnah, right? We said that the moser of a shavui, money collected for a specific shavui, goes to him. It doesn't go to other shvuyin. The Karban Eda rather explains that this is true even if the second captive is more chashuv than the first. So I might think, well, if I collected money for some guy, and then it turns out that a great Rav was held a captive, maybe I should just give the money to be poda the great Rav, because after all, he's a greater individual than the person for whom the collection was undertaken. So the chiddush is no, if it was collected for a certain guy, only the money only goes to that guy. Then govan talis batalis, and we don't, and we're not govan talis for a mace with another talis for a mace, meaning if you're collecting for a specific mace, then the moser has to be put toward that mace in either of the through either of the means mentioned in the Mishnah, but it can't go to fund the burial costs of other mesim. Vein mamchen biyad parnasasin lekach. However, if the gabbai tzedakah does in fact give the moser of money collected for one mace to another mace, or the moser of money collected for one shavui to an oser to another shavui, then we don't make a machaz. In other words, you're not supposed to do it, but if he does it, fine. Okay, and again, the reason for this is Tiklin Chatatin says, because when you're giving money to the gabbai tzedakah, you're giving it to him al das, that he should have some sort of discretion over how to use it. So even though the Mishnah is telling us ideally how he should use it, if he spends it, then fine. And it is uncertain though exactly what discretion does the gabbai tzedakah have. Does the gabbai tzedakah have discretion only to the extent that if you give money to a shavui, then he could use it to another shavui, or can he just use it generally for tzarchei rabin? Because we say that, well, whenever you give money to the gabbai tzedakah, you assume the gabbai tzedakah is going to put it toward whatever cause he sees fit at the time. But either way, if the gabbai tzedakah gives either to another mace or to another shavui, it's not a basis to make a macha. Tani, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel says, "Ein osen nefashos letzadikim." We don't make a nefesh. We don't make a matseva for tzadikim. Devrayen hein zichronam, because their words are in effect their zikaron. That the whole purpose of a matseva is to make a zikaron of the mace. But we don't need a zikaron of the mace by a Talmud Chacham, because by a Talmud Chacham, their divrei Torah that they say over that are with us forever are obviously a zikaron enough for a mace. So this is a complicated issue, and this is all Rabbi Leibowitz happened to have brought these Mar Mekomos down 7.5 years ago. I certainly would not have been able to find them here. But Ramosha points out that in the beginning of Maseches Brachos, in the beginning of the first krach of Talmud Bavli, the Matseva of the Rif is printed in the front of the Gemara. So what does it mean when the Gemara says that you don't make a nefesh for tzaddikim, because we see obviously that great tzaddikim, including the Rif and others, obviously did have matzevas. So the Ksav Sofer has an interesting explanation. He says that there are basically two reasons to put up a matzeva. One is just for, one is kavod ha-meis, and one is to benefit the people who are coming to pay respects to the mace. So from the benefit of kavod ha-meis, from the benefit of the mace itself, the point of a matseva is that people should see the matseva, they should be moved by the matseva, they should be moved by the inscriptions of the great deeds that they're reading about, they should do a lot of mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, and their mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim should be an aliyas neshama for the mace up in Shemayim. So tzaddikim, perhaps, arguably, don't need an aliyas neshama. They don't need our deeds in order to make an aliyas neshama for them, because they're up there in Gan Eden on their own merit. However, the other point of the matseva is that a person who is mourning the mace should see the matseva, be inspired, and just for himself, forgetting about whatever impact it has on the aliyas neshama for the mace, just for himself, be inspired to do better. And in that respect, certainly you should put up a matseva for tzaddikim, because if people read the matseva of tzaddikim and see what great people they were, then they'll be inspired and they will improve themselves. So from that aspect, it certainly makes a lot of sense to have a matseva for a tzaddik. All right, so the Gemara is now going to tell a wild story. Rabbi Yochanan, Havi Mismach V'Yazel. Rabbi Yochanan was leaning on somebody as he was walking. Rabbi Yochanan was a tremendous balbasar, and therefore it was difficult for him to get around. So, Rav Chia bar Abba. So, Rabbi Yochanan was walking on Rav Chia bar Abba, via Rav Elezer Chamile, and Rav Elezer saw him. Umitmar, and he hid from him. Umitmar le mekame. Va'amar, and Rabbi Yochanan said, so this is a pretty weird, right? Rabbi Elazar is walking, sees Rabbi Yochanan. He obviously caught his eye, and then he runs away. He hides from him. Va'amar Alin, and Rabbi Yochanan said, Tarti milayu hadin bavla avad bay. This Babylonian, Rabbi Eliezer, did two bad things to me. He did two iniquities. Chada delo shol bishlome. One, he didn't ask me how I'm doing. He saw me walking on the street. I saw he made eye contact with me, so I know that he saw me, and he didn't give me shalom aleichem. V'chada mitmar, and not only did he not give me shalom aleichem, he also hid from me. So I'm Rabbi Yaakov bar Oven, I'm Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi. So says Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, kach nihigin gavon dezira, kach nihigin gavon. That's how they conduct themselves in Bavel. Tezira l'shol b'shlomei deraba, because a Talmud does not because a Talmud does not give shalom to a Rebbe. That was the minhag in Bavel. You are Rebbe Eliezer's Rebbe, so he saw you. He wasn't giving you shalom. So the Gra points out that in case you think this is halacha lemaisa that Talmidim shouldn't give shalom to the Rebbe, it's not. Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi was just trying to be mefayis Rabbi Yochanan because he was very, very upset that Rabbi Eliezer had walked away, he had run away and hid without giving him shalom. So the inan nagun umakaimon reuni na'arim v'nechbo'u, they are mekayim the pasuk that the na'arim should conceal themselves v'yishishim kamu, and the aged get up. In other words, that the young people just they don't interact, they don't mingle with the older people, the talmidim don't mingle with the rabbanim, and therefore he ran away from you. So amar lehu ma'u lemevad kame da'adura tzalme, what is the proper thing to do before an idol? Is it prohibited? Is it usher basically to pass in front of an idol because it's a show of deference? Samarle ma'at paliglon yikar avur kameo v'same einai. He says, what are you talking about? Of course it's not usher to pass in front of an idol. Nobody's going to think that you're showing deference. Nobody's going to think that you're showing deference to an idol. Go pass in front of the idol, and not only that, rub out its eyes, blind out its eyes. So amarle yos Rabbi Eliezer avad delo avad kamach. So in that case, Rabbi Eliezer did well that he didn't he didn't pass by you, because if he passed by you, he would have disrespected you. Because so in other words, so Rav Yochanan said, what should you do when you pass in front of an idol? You should disrespect the idol. So Rav Yaakov Idi said, well, that's what he would have done to you, because his minig, the minig in Bavel, is that the Talmud doesn't say shalom aleichem to the Rebbe. If he would have passed in front of you directly, he would have conducted himself in accordance with his minig in Bavel. He wouldn't have given you shalom aleichem, and you would have been upset. So better that he ran off and hid. Okay, so what was the v'od, another story, Rabbi Lezer got on Rabbi Yochanan's nerves. V'od avid habavla, and another thing that Rabbi Lezer did that was bad. V'lo amar shmaitim mishmei, I hear him say over my teachings, and he's not saying them over in my name. So nichlesu lefanav Rabbi Ami v'Ravasi, amrulo Rebbe, kacha em maisa beveis haknesses shel tarsiim, that this was a maisa in the beis haknesses of the coppersmiths, in the beis haknesses of the coppersmiths. Of the coppersmiths, benagar sheyesh barosho glustera, with a bolt that had on its head a knob. The machlokas was whether the bolt what could be used to wedge open a door on Shabbos, whether it's mechze kabona or not, and if it has the status of a kli, then it wouldn't be mechze kabona. Rabbi Lezer says it's aser. Rabbi Yossi said it was mutter. It doesn't look like bona because the bolt has a knob at the end, and therefore it's fit for use as other things. Shenechleku Rabbi Lezer v'Rabbi Yossi, that Rabbi Lezer and Yossi argued achekaru sefer Torah b'chamasan, until they ripped the sefer Torah in anger. Sakaru Sefer Torah? What are you, they crazy? They were arguing in the base medrash, and one of them was trying to prove a point, so they ripped the Sefer Torah. So they said, no. Says the Gemara, Elisha Nikra Sefer Torah, that a Sefer Torah was ripped. So what does this mean? So the Tiklin Chatan explains that they were both arguing. They were trying to show each other Makoros in the Psukim, and because they didn't have Chumashim like we have, so they had only Sifrei Torah, so because they were each tugging at the scroll, trying to find the Makar, That's how the Sefer Torah ripped. So in any event, back to the story. Vayisham zaken echad, and there was one. There was a zaken there. Rav Yossi ben Kisma Shmo, and it was Rav Yossi ben Kisma. So Amar Timani imlohavi beis haknesses ze beis avodah zara. I would be amazed if this beis haknesses does not turn into a beis avodah zara. Why? Because the Gemara tells us elsewhere that kol hakoes is ka'oved avodah zara. These guys are ripping a Sefer Torah because they're so burnt up in the machlokas, they're so angry at each other. So this Beis HaKnesses is going to become a Beis Avodah Zarah. V'chazar v'yamar, hachadin mechavarei. And And he said, V'chazar v'yamar, and Rabbi Yochanan says, Achdin, how is this? How is this any consolation to me? So what was the point? So the point was that don't be afraid that, don't be upset, rather, that he's saying things not in your name. We see he's an impetuous guy. He gets upset in his arguments with Rav Yossi. So Rav Yochanan says, what does this mean? This is michavrei. The fact that he's impetuous to Rav Yossi, fine, but he's still slighting me. In other words, I'm entitled to get upset with him. Chavrusas, when they're arguing, shouldn't get so upset with one another, but I'm his Rebbe, I'm entitled to be upset with him. So Nichlal Sofana Rav Yaakov Bar Idi. So again, Rav Yaakov Bar Idi comes to try to settle down Rav Yochanan. Amar Leiksiv Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe Avdo Kain Tziva Moshe Es Yoshua. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe, so too Moshe commanded Yoshua. V'chi Kol Dibur V'Dibur Shai Yoshua Yoshua V'Dorei Shai Omer Kach Omer Moshe. Every time Yoshua opened up his mouth, do you think he said, oh, this is what I heard from Moshe Rabbeinu? No, Ela Yeshua Yoshua V'Doresh. Yeshua would be Yoshua V'Doresh. V'yodin HaKol Shah Torah Shal Moshe. And everybody knows that the Torah that Yeshua is imparting is the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Af Ata Eliezer Yoshua V'Doresh V'Kol Yodin Shah Torah Shal Chahi. Also with you and Rabbi Eliezer, you're so upset that he doesn't say things B'Shem Omri. He doesn't say things in your name. Everybody knows Rabbi Eliezer sat and learned by Rabbi Yochanan. If Rabbi Eliezer sang over Shtikul Torah, Mestameh, you heard it from Rabbi Yochanan. So what are you getting so upset for? So Amar Lahen Mibnei Ma Ein Ata Yodin Laratzos Kiven Idi Chaverenu. So Rav Yochanan said, why don't the rest of you over here know how to appease somebody like Ben Idi, like Rav Yaakov Ben Idi, our friend? Because obviously what he said resonated with Rav Yochanan, and it settled his mind a little bit. So Rav Yochanan Mai Kuli Hai Debon Lememron Shmaite Mishmei. All right, so by getting back to this inyan of Omer Dover B'Shem Omro, why was Rav Yochanan so bent out of shape that Rav Eliezer was not saying over Shmaitza in Rav Yochanan's name? And the Tikkun Chadaton says it can't just be that Rav Yochanan was upset because the Mishnah Perkei Avos says that Kol Omer Dover B'Shem Omro may be Gula Liolam, and that's why Rav Yochanan was upset, because Rav Eliezer was forsaking the opportunity to bring Gula Liolam. Because if that were the case, then everybody should have been upset with Rav Eliezer. But from the whole way that the Gemara is approaching this, it's mashma that Rav Yochanan had a particular beef with Rav Eliezer. So what was his problem already with Rav Eliezer? What was the big deal? Because also David, even David HaMelech, was Mavakesh Rachmim, that people should say something, people should say over Divrei Torah in his name. Shenemar, Agura Bo'alecha Olamim, I want to live in your tents forever. Echze B'Sefer Knafecha Sela. V'chi also Adato Shel David Sheyel Chai V'Kayim Le'olamim. Did David really think he was going to live forever? So what kind of bakasha is this, even Agura Bo'alecha Olamim? This is what David said before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono shel Olam, eske sheyei dvarai ne'amarim v'vatei knesiyos v'vatei midrashos. I wish that I would merit that my words should be spoken over in the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash. And so too it is, right? In the Beis HaKnesses we say the Tfilos and the Tillim of David HaMelech. In the Beis HaMedrash we say over our halachos in his name. The Olamim in the Pasuk, the Mefarshim explain, are going on the Batei Midrashos, not the Batei Knesios. Why? Because when a person davens, he also davens for Chayesha. He davens because he needs sustenance, he needs things for the here and now. The Torah that a person learns, however, is Chayolam. Torah, obviously, is Chayolam, and that's what David meant when he said, Aguro Be'alecha Olamin. So Shimon ben Azira B'Shem Rav Yitzchak Amar, Shimon ben Azira B'Shem Rav Yitzchak says, Kol Talmid Chacham Shomer Dover Alecha Mipiv B'Olam Hazeh. Any Talmid Chacham in whose name something is said over in Olam Hazeh, Sfasav Roch Shosimo B'Kever. His lips move in the Kever. Shenemar, as it says, V'chichech K'yayin Atov. Your utterance is like fine wine. Dovev Sifshe Yishenim. The lips of those who are sleeping move. So ma komer shel anavim zeh, just like a heated mass of grapes. Kiven sheminiach adam esbo alav miyad dovev. As soon as somebody touches it, it moves immediately. Afsif so seim shel tzadikim. Also the lips of the righteous in Shemayim. Kiven sheomrim davar alacha mepiem. once, if we say a halacha in their name, shal tzadikim sifseim rachshos imo and bekever, their lips, as it were, move in the grave. So ma'anolo. So what's the basically what's the anah for him? What benefit is it to the tzaddik in olam haba if somebody is saying over Torah in their name in olam hazeh? What's the big deal? So bar nazira amar kadin deshasi kunditon. It's the same hana as a person who drinks this type of wine, which was it was a mixture of wine, pepper, and honey. So why wine, pepper, and honey? Why is this a normal way to explain the hana? So the Tiklan Chatatin says as follows, that wine symbolizes halacha, yayin is like a Torah, pepper symbolizes charif, it's sharp discussions, and honey symbolizes the sweetness of agada. So all of these types of teaching gain additional reward for the mesim in olam haba, whether a person says over a dvar halacha, or if a person says over a dvar agada, or if a person says over any stam charif is the gavart that the mace had said. Rav Yitzchak, though, the prior Mandi Amar, had likened it to yayin because Rav Yitzchak focused on practical halacha. Therefore, Rav Yitzchak focused on the yayin, which is a practical halacha aspect of the world of Torah and not the other aspects of the world of Torah. Rav Yitzchak Amar, kadin deshasi chamar atik, like a person who drinks fine wine. So avagav deshasi leitama bupumei, even after you've already drunk it, you still have the aftertaste in their mouth. So too, even though these people are already dead, they've already passed on, still they do get some sort of hana. Says the Gemara Vayter, Rav Gidul Amar, Homer Shmua b'shem Omro, if a person says a Shmua in the name of the person who said it, Yire bal Shmua kilu omed lenegdo. He should view the Bala Shmua as if the Bala Shmua is standing in front of him. And this is from the din of Vahayu, this is Vahayu Enecha Ro'os Esmarecha. That's what the Karban Eda explains, that a person comes to a deeper understanding if he hears a Chiddush and he actually sees the person that he's hearing the Chiddush from. Also, he's more likely to impart the Chiddush accurately if he saw his Rebbe, if he saw the person when he heard the Chiddush initially. Shenemar, Af Betzelem Yisalech Ish. A person should even go with the image. Rav Adam Yikre Ish Chasto Ze Shar Kol Adam Vish Emunim Miyimsa Ze Rav Zeira. This is Rav Zeira. Such a lashon of precision. Vish Emunim, that explains, that describes Rav Zeira. Damar Rav Zeira, listen and tzrich and chashash and l'shmaitzei de Rav Sheshes. We don't have to concern ourselves too much with the shmaitzei of Rav Sheshes if we see that we're going against what Rav Sheshes says. To who gavra miftecha, because he was a person of open eyes. Lashon Saginar. In other words, Rav Sheshes was blind. Because he was blind, he was never able to be mekayim v'hoya necha ro'os esmarecha. He was never able to see the person from whom he was learning Torah. And because he was never able to see the person from whom he was learning, could be that he didn't take the limud with as much precision as he otherwise would have. Amar le Rav Zeira le Ravi Asi, chachim Rebbe lebar pasya, diata mar shmaitza mishmei. That you learn from Bar Pasi, you say over Halacha in his name. Amar le Rav Yochanan Amar Mishmei, and he says Rav Yochanan says it over in his name. Amar le Rav Zeira Rav Asi Chacham Revi LeRav Diat Amar Damar Shmaitza Mishmei, because you say over the Halacha in his name. Amar le Rav Adar Bar Ava Amar Mishmei Ein Dor Sheim Bo Litzanim. Rav Adar Bar Ava says over in his name, there is no Dor that doesn't have Litzanim Kedoro Shel David. There are no Litzanim as there were in the door of David HaMelech. Ma hayu prutzei ador osin? What would the prutzei ador? What would the prust people in his generation do? Ayol chenetzel chalonos of shel David. They would go over to his windows, Amram lo, and they would say to him, David, emasai yibana beis hamikdash, emasai beis Hashem nelech. When is the beis hamikdash going to be built? When will we be able to go serve Hashem? And they were obviously taunting him because they knew that David HaMelech couldn't build the beis hamikdash. The beis hamikdash would only be built in Shlomo's time. So it's as if they were longing for David HaMelech to die. Vayadavid Omer, and David said, Afal Pisha Meskabnin Lachiseni, even though they are attempting to provoke me, Yavo Alai, may great evil befall me, Imlo Ayisi Sameach B'Devrayim, if I wasn't so happy, ecstatic with what they said. Dechsib, Samachli Ba'omrim Li Beis Hashem Nelech. I am ecstatic when people say, we want to go to the Beis Hashem. Vahayo kiyim lulamecha v'shachavta es avosecha. So this is another pasuk in Sefer Tillim. It says, Shmuel Beis rather, Vayu ki yimlu yamecha, when your days are filled, v'shachavta es avosecha, that's when you're going to join your fathers, that's when you're going to pass away. So Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeDavid, yamim shleimim ani moneh lecha. I am going to count for you yamim shleimim v'lo yamim chaserim, klum shlomo, in other words, I'm not going to shorten your life just so that the Beis HaMikdash could be built. Klum Shlomo Banecha Yibana Beis HaMikdash El Akrif Karbana Sibur. Shlomo, the only reason that Shlomo is going to bring going to build the Beis HaMikdash is so Klal Yisrael can bring Karbana Sibur. Chavav Alai Tzedaka Mishpat Shata Ose, the Tzedaka and the Mishpat, which the Mefarshim explain is Pshara. David HaMelech was a master of Pshara, the compromise that you effect is more chaviv to me, yoser min ha-karban, is greater to me than karban, shenemar, asei tzedakah mishpat, nivchar la-Hashem me-zevach. It's better, it's more desirous to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than zevach, and therefore, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to David, even though, true, your son will build the Beis HaMikdash, I am in no hurry to see you go away, because your pshara that you do is a bigger nachas ruach to me than all of the kabbana sibur that my children are going to bring in the Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo HaMelech is going to build. Tomorrow we will Hadron Alech Mitzarfin Shkalim, the second parak, and tomorrow we will begin, God willing, the third parak of Maseches Shkalim.